Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the first paragraph, beginning with whatever the precise definition of the word, and reading through that one paragraph ending with, be called anything else. Today's readers are Stephanie R. in the 12 Steps, Naomi G.B., the 12 Traditions, and our big book readers are Craig F. in the text, Kelly S. on page 164, and Nancy R. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Leah S., and our second hour host is Maria M. The share ID for Sunday, August 4th, 2024 is 21,627. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie R. from Missouri. Here are our 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B., a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service. Pass.
Thank you, Naomi. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the reader should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the first paragraph, beginning with whatever the precise definition of the word, and reading through that one paragraph ending with be called anything else. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Hi, good morning. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. How can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight be called anything else? Of course, we're talking about Jim, who had owned a car dealership, lost it according to his drinking, was back working for the same car dealership and thought that he could get by putting some whiskey in his milk. And, we're calling this plain insanity that Jim had suffered a great deal at the hands of his disease. And here we are, I've suffered a great deal at the hands of my disease and my compulsive overeating. It has affected my career. It has affected my love life. It has affected my finances. It's certainly affected my health. And yet I've continued for a lot of years, even knowing where the solution was, in the insanity of making bad decisions, of every now and then testing it again, saying, I think maybe now I could just eat a little of that, or a little bit of that won't hurt, or whatever other rationalization I could come up with at the time. Out of touch with reality, plain insanity, a lack of proportion, of understanding how critical and important even that first small bite was, and how dangerous it was, and not being able to recall the loss in my life in that moment, not to be able to say, the last time you picked that up, the last time you picked that up, you went on a 120-pound binge. The last time you picked that up, it took you, a couple of years to get back where you could get some continuous abstinence to get back into surrender. Lack of proportion, and so they're calling that plain insanity, and there's not much other word for it than plain insanity. not fancy insanity. I don't know what that would be, but the idea of being insane was I just hated that idea when I came in. It said that I just read step two, and it said, you know, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I thought, I'm not insane. You know, insane people, they put them in straitjackets and they've got them locked up at the state asylum and, you know, one flew over the cuckoo nest type thing. And they do frontal lobotomies on them. I'm not insane. But there's no other way. Thank you. There's no other definition for that, for doing things over and over again that you know are going to hurt you and know are going to bring you down. There's no other word than insanity. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Please give me your first name only, and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Melissa C.
Gotcha, Melissa.
Roy C.
Gotcha, Roy.
Israel.
Sorry, who is that from Israel?
Jen B.
Was that Jen B?
Yeah.
Okay,
and it's from Israel.
How do you spell? I'm so sorry. How do you spell that?
R E U V as in Victor E N.
Thank you so much, Reuben. All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Who else?
Nancy R.
Nancy R.
Judith S.P.
Gotcha, Judith. Anyone else? I think we'll stop there and we'll continue on in a little while. So this is who I've got for our first lineup. Melissa C., Roy C., Jen B., Reuben, Nancy R., Judith S.P. And when you... introduce yourselves. Please remember to include the first initial of your last name and where you are calling from. Melissa C., you are up first, followed by Roy C. Go ahead, Melissa.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Rick. Good to hear you this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. I'm actually currently on vacation. I was seemingly vacation half the summer, so I'm not home, but you know, lack of proportion of the ability to think straight really, for me, comes into play big time as I'm, you know, traveling. This is really relevant to what I'm experiencing to my life. And you know, I love the big book really gives me workable definitions. It really gives me different meanings for words. You know, I had an idea of what plain insanity was, but the book tells me, well, for someone like you, lack of proportion of the ability to think straight, that's how we're going to define, you know, insanity for you. And that makes sense for me because, you know, when I lack proportion, what it means is that I make things that are seemingly, you know, that are crucially important, unimportant. And I make things that are unimportant, extremely important or the most important part of my life. And, you know, knowing what I know, I've suffered from this disease all my life. Knowing what I know about this disease and knowing what I know really about the allergy, any time I've made snap decisions, for me, it's impulsive eating. It's doing things impulsively without a plan, without eating, you know, in real tight agreement to my food plan. I am lacking proportion because that is, that will lead me, you know, to death. And, you know, so it's things like, caring more with the people I'm traveling with, think about me, that I don't want to be a pain and have to advocate for myself or have to tell people, you know what, I'll bring my own food, no worry. If I start placing what other people think about me ahead of a disease that actually will kill me, I am lacking proportion of the ability to think straight. And thankfully, you know, I am not suffering from plain insanity today. And occasionally when I have the thought like, oh, do I really have to ask, you know, in advance what's going to be in this? I get the second thought, which is, yes, yes, you actually do. And what people think of you is not nearly as important as your life. You know, if I go to someone's house and I don't ask ahead what they're serving and I don't bring food for myself, I have no ability to think straight. I am placing what they think about me ahead of my very life, and I call that plain insanity. Thank you, God. I don't feel insane today. I feel really comfortable. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to finish up with this. I feel really comfortable knowing who I am and what I have and what I need to do, and that way I can live and, you know, live in peace and happiness. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much for Melissa C. from New York. All right, Roy C., you're up next, followed by Jen B. Go ahead, Roy, and please remind us where you're calling from.
Oh, this is Roy C. I'm calling from southern New Jersey. And this idea of insanity, it strikes home with me because in my life, I worked in a mental hospital for a long, long time, and I dealt with insanity every day. And I enjoyed life, but I had this insane notion all the time that I could do and eat whatever I wanted to eat, and be healthy and wise and all that. And that was insane. I was closing in on 400 pounds when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous. And I still struggle with and having shed a lot of that weight, I still struggle with the idea that I can do and eat whatever I want and remain healthy. And that's an insane idea. So this morning I have a fresh reprieve every day in Overeaters Anonymous. Being a compulsive overeater, I have a daily reprieve, and I can start and perhaps find a sane way of doing things. And getting on this meeting in the morning time is a way to start that, and hopefully if things go right for me and my higher power is looking out for me, a more sane way of living my life will happen, and I'll have a day of abstinence, and I'm looking forward to that, and I pray for that, and I thank you all for being here, and thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much, Roy C. from New Jersey. Jen B., you're up next, followed by Reuven. Go ahead, Jen B.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jen B. I'm a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Lacking proportion, that was the reason I was in OA for 3 years a while back, and I couldn't string together 3 days of abstinence. I kept thinking, oh, my disease isn't that bad. You know, I see other people indulging or overeating once in a while, and they're okay. Or, you know, I'm not that obese. You know, forgetting why I was so desperate. You know, I had a moment of desperation and thought, you know, 3 days later, I'm thinking I'm not that bad. And, you know, the day that I finally, you know, I've been abstinent 60 days now, which took me, you know, 4 years to do, you know, with the right sponsor and the right connection to God, you know, but, you know, am I really okay? Let's stop lacking proportion, Jen. Am I okay with not fitting into any of my bathing suits or summer clothes or any of my clothes? I have to keep going to the store and buying bigger and bigger clothes. Am I okay with that? Am I really not that bad? Am I okay with living in a dirty and messy house because I'm too obese to bend and move to clean it? And my family has to deal with this and I get mad at them for adding to the mess? Am I okay with like wanting to call out of work until I can get thin? Like, okay, maybe I can crash diet for a week and lose a little weight and then fit into some clothes and then I'll go to work. Yet, you know, those things aren't that bad that I can have a little of this or that. You know, not being able to wear regular shoes. I'm not even 50 yet. I can't wear regular shoes. I'm stuck wearing black sneakers with custom orthotic inserts just because my body weight is too much of a stress on my feet. I'm not well. I will never be cured. So when I'm sick and I think, oh, you know, I really need some, you know, I'm upset to my stomach. I need something heavier to eat. You know, lacking proportion means I think being a little bit nauseous is more of an urgent emergency than being stuck in this disease of compulsive overeating. And if I think that, you know, I'm tired, I my body always went for food when I was tired, you know, for that false energy. Again, being tired is more urgent than being a compulsive overeater and being obese and having health problems and not being able to clean my house. So grateful that, you know, for today, I'm not going to lack proportion. I have my abstinence prayer. You know, I ask God, please give me the willingness and ability to remain abstinent today and eat within my food plan. The food in my plan fights inflammation. It promotes health, energy, and vitality. It is custom designed to be enough food for me. And then I go on to thank God for that.
Gentle reminder.
Again. Thank you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share. Have a good day, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Jen B. from New Jersey. Reuven, you're up next, followed by Nancy R. Go ahead, Reuven.
Yeah, thank you for leading the meeting and everyone for your service. I appreciate it. As I was listening to this and reading this, two thoughts went in my mind. One was that, you know, I hear oftentimes the reference that remember where Bill is coming from. And if I keep that in mind, I remember I'm told that that Bill, in the time when people were insane, they were put into mental asylums. So this was the that were terrible places to be. In this book, in this time that it's written, it's describing that this is an insane behavior that was worthy of being put into an asylum that was a terrible place to be. And you were completely off your rocker, psyche ill. And not only that, but you have the stigma of being a really terrible person. And now, if I translate this, though, into today, it makes it even harder for me to not follow my plan, which I did for several weeks or maybe a couple of months by eating out of proportion. And that is when I look in the dictionary, it's afflicted with a mental disorder. That's an adjective. Otherwise, and I saw in one dictionary, it says foolishness. I said, come on, it's got to be more than foolishness and insanity. So then I looked in another dictionary, and the other dictionary says extreme foolishness, irrationality. So I really need to look at that and look at what Jim did. When I read it in somebody else, I can see, and that's why the big book is so helpful, because it gives the graphics. I can see that it is foolish, extremely foolish, irrational, and I am lucky and I am fortunate that I live in a time where I am not locked up, although at times in my disease, I have wanted to be locked up. So my not doing step one for sure of not being very critical that I have entire abstinence of those alcoholic foods, and not being entirely abstinent of those alcoholic food-related behaviors that would drive me to drive for hours in the old days looking for a bran muffin because bran was healthy. This is where I'm headed back to. So,
just a reminder.
I'm now on day four, and if I don't want to go back to those days of chasing bran muffins, I better take this to heart. And thank God, God is helping me do that. Thank you. Now that I pass, thank you.
Thank you, Reuben. And before you get off the line, could you tell us the first initial of your last name, please?
H.
All right. Thank you. That was Reuben H. Yep. From Israel. All right, Nancy R., you're up next, followed by Judith S.P. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. It's Nancy R., recovered, thank God, recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. I remember the first time someone told me I was insane when it came to food. I was so insulted. I was like, I'm not insane. And I'm grateful today that for many, many years, I know that when I have this foolish idea that I can do something X, Y, and Z around food, that it is plain insanity. And I, like Reuben, looked up the word insanity. And in addition to some of the things that he was saying, it's idiocy, stupidity, imbecile, lunacy, madness. I know somewhere else in the Big Book it talks about. They thought, in Bill's story, he's like, Bill says that, that his friends thought that a lunacy commission should be formed. Madness, senselessness, brainlessness, irrationality, illogical, absurd, ludicrous, ridiculous, daftness. A lot of those fit, I'm grateful now that someone told me that I was insane when it came to my thinking around food. And the insanity is not only my thinking around food, it's all the thoughts that come before that, just like Jim. It's all the resentments. It's all the little things that I think are no big deal, that if I pause and bring all those thoughts and resentments and things in my day to God through 10 steps, that I get relief. And so so glad I'm not acting out of my insane thinking today. And that's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy R. from Illinois. All right, Judith S.P., you're up next. And then we'll get some more names. And just remind us where you're calling from, Judith. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Rick, and everybody who's here today. Thank you, God, for bringing me to this meeting. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland. And it is just incredible to me that 3.5 lines have so much power and so much insightful information for me as well as many others. Insane, when I was 29, I was brought to a facility for mental health, and I stayed there for 1.5 years. And I guess the report said she was insane because I wanted to kill myself, which is pretty insane. The one thing that I realized when I look back almost 50 years ago is there was no tapping into or no assistance around my spiritual malady. And as people were sharing, I was thinking about Dr. Silkworth, who brought to light the relationship, the partnership, the connection between my body and my mind. And so in moderation today, my mind can be cleared and straightened out because my body is healthier. And so the two work in tandem. They're not separate parts. I used to walk around and think my head goes to the left, my body goes to the right, and I don't even know where I inside go because it's all mixed up. And today I am so grateful to God and this program. And I also know, even as recently as yesterday, I thought about something and I went and I made a decision. And I realized after making that decision that I didn't turn to God. I didn't call fellows just to slow Judith's crazy thinking down because I'm still very sick in my brain, although my body is healing and I work very hard every day to give my body what it needs. But my mind and my thinking still need a lot of support and help. And so a fellow last night said to me, it's not following with my heart only, it's what I'm capable of in this moment. And in this moment, in this life, to not carry around insanity and all the offshoots of making decisions that are against God's wishes for me, I have to pause and pray, breathe, trust, and rely on God. Because alone, I will not be moderate, and I will not have clear thinking. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Judith S.P. from Maryland. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 37, the first paragraph beginning with whatever the precise definition of the word, and reading through that one paragraph only, ending with be called anything else. And there we value everyone's experience.
Fauna Yetta from Texas. Sorry.
Hold on just a minute, please. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who else would like to share today?
Fauna Yetta from Texas.
Jane P.
Patricia
Ann D. So who is that from Baltimore and who is that from Texas?
Rivka Texas R. from Baltimore.
And Fauna Yetta from Texas.
Trisha Ann from North Carolina.
Is that Trisha from North Carolina?
Yes, ma'am. Sir.
I've never been called that before.
Sorry.
All right. So
Michelle
all right.
D. from Georgia.
And who is that from Georgia?
Trisha D. D as in David.
Is that Trisha?
Uh-huh. Trisha D. as in David from Georgia.
Okay, now was there also a Trisha? Okay.
Patricia right. Ann.
Okay, guys, I was getting a lot of names there, and I've got a little bit of background static. I'm not able to hear the names clearly. I apologize for that. Here's who I have, and then we'll sort it out and get the people that have tried to already put their name in, and I haven't got it yet. So if you've already given your name and you don't hear it, we will put you on the list now. So here's who I have now, and I don't have all the initials or last names. But so I've got Rivka R., Tanyetta. I have I put down Trisha, Michelle, and Aprisha. I think it's Prisha, and I put it down one time as Trisha. If there is a Trisha there, then we'll have a Trisha and Aprisha. So if you haven't heard your name called and you already tried, please give it to me now.
Jane P.
Ah, yeah, I heard you in the very beginning. Sorry, Jane. All right, who else?
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Okay. and anybody else that was trying to get on and hadn't heard her name. Okay, so that's a pretty good lineup there, and we'll see where we're at as we go through this list. So, Rivka R., Kanyetta, Trisha, possibly, Michelle, Prisha, D., Jane P., Laura L. So, remember, as you would introduce yourselves, please give me your name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. And Rivka R., you're up next, followed by Kanyetta. Go ahead, Rivka.
Hi, thanks so much, Rick. It's Rivka R., recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thanks for everybody for your shares and being here on the line today. Yesterday I went to an absolutely heartbreaking, tragic funeral of a good friend's 21-year-old son who committed suicide on Thursday night. And like I'm holding her up as we're walking to the burial, and she looked at me with such grief, and she said, "That was a bad decision. That was such a bad decision." Yeah, we can see that bad decisions are insanity. And, you know, to make the ultimate disconnection, you know, where there's no return from. And part of my, you know, my insanity is that, you know, bad decisions that I make, I didn't see at the time as bad decisions. You know, but the truth is, and on a much, you know, I mean, smaller scale, but certainly has this, you know, the same repercussions of, you know, choosing to disconnect, that it is plain insanity, like a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight. Like, and how do I learn to think straight? Well, that's what the program is all about. That's what it teaches me. You know, a vital relationship with God, you know, teaches me how to think straight. My fellows teach me that. And Don's special edition yesterday demonstrates that. Like, that's one of the gifts and the miracles of, thank God, you know, being in recovery today and not worshiping what's empty, because when I worship what's empty, I become empty. You know, I'm worshiping food, or I'm worshiping others' opinions of me, or I'm worshiping what I have or I don't have. Like, I'm going to end up empty, and my thinking and my decisions are bad. They're not leading me to a life of joy and connection and power. So, you know, when through putting the food down and working the steps and being connected with all of you, filling myself with the consciousness of God, that fills me with true truth and connection and value. And I'm so grateful to be here. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. All right, Kanyetta, you're up next, followed by possibly Trisha or Prisha. So, Kanyetta, please include the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rick. This is Kanyetta and R. from Texas. And thank you for your service. You know, when I came into OA in 1981, 43 years ago this month, no, just August already, last month, the first thing that grabbed me was that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, because I knew I was insane. I was so totally insane, and the thought that I might be able to be sane if I stayed there, that was one of the steps. I didn't even know what a step was, but it was in there. And, you know, I had already tried to commit suicide 3 times. I would cook a whole turkey and eat everything and every little bit off everything except for the white meat of the turkey, which is what I served my family, or make a whole huge brisket with all the fat on it and eat the whole thing except for the very lean part, which is what I fed my family. You know, I knew that I was insane. I was insane with food. I was insane with everything. And so this just shows me and it keeps showing me over and over and over again in the big book that I have a thinking problem. I have a spiritual problem. The food is not my problem. It's my head, you know, my heart. There is where the issues are. So I know that with all my strength and with all my might, that if I don't have a spiritual connection, a healthy, wonderful spiritual connection with my higher power that I call God, then I'm out of it. I'll go back, and I have to firm that, and I have to make that stronger every single day, all during the day. I talk to God all during the day, and without that, I'm a mess. I'll go back to insanity, and I don't want to go to one of those asylums, although we don't have anything quite like that today. But, you know, I would not want to do that. So, and I've been to many, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. So I am very excited that this program has the big book and that we get to use it. And it's our guide, it's our teacher. And thank you to Jim. I mean, thank you, yeah, Jim too, but to Bill and Dr. Bob and all the people who were there at the beginning to give us this wonderful life. And the whole thing is a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle that I'm abstinent.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. And I'll just say, if you're new or struggling, just remember to don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, because it's there for you. Thank you again for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Connietta R. from Texas. All right. Tricia D., you're up next, followed by Michelle. Go ahead, Tricia.
It's Patricia Ann D. Patricia Ann D. I'm from North Carolina.
Okay, Patricia N. D.
Ann. Patricia Ann.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll get it. It's okay. All right. Thank you, Patricia Ann. All right, go ahead, and then you'll be followed by Michelle.
Yes, my plain insanity has been that, you know, I got this, you know, doing the vision, doing it, you know, working the steps, going through the big book, working with a sponsor, calling in my food, all of it, you know, and then suddenly, not all of it, that part, and then suddenly I got this, you know, I don't have to do that. You know, and this has been going on over and over and over again because I never really sunk into the program, because I didn't want to sink into another 12-step program. Members, if you want to call it that, other 12-step programs, I didn't want to do this. But that's plain insanity. If I'm going to continue my life, my mind, my thinking, let alone my food is my pacifier. That's my pacifier to calm everything down, because my brain is going 210 and I'm trying to control and trying to figure it out, and it going insane, plain insanity, my thinking. And so then I pick up the food because I need something to just go and just vet sanity of my disease has just, it's causing me to be insane, my thinking, not as my food too, of course. You know, I've gained, I don't know how much weight, but I need to do the whole deal. I need to make my phone calls. I need to do my service work like I am right now, calling and talking. You know, I need to call people. I need to sponsor. I need to do things that this program is suggesting and get involved in the program. And I haven't done that at all, and except calling my food and talk to a sponsor and go through the big book, because that's private. You know, I don't have to get in and talk to you guys. You know, I don't have to do all that. Yes, I do. That's the piece that's insane, is the part that's telling me you don't need all that. You just need this. You know, and I just want to share that, my experience with my insanity, yeah, I don't want any more pacifiers. Anyways, thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia Ann. All right, now, I know that there is a Trisha D, and Trisha D, could you unmute now?
Yes, this is Trisha D from Georgia. Am I up for it?
Trisha with a P?
No, with a D as in David.
Oh, but and your first name is that Trisha?
Yes, that is right. I'm so sorry to confuse you this morning.
Oh, no, I'm easily confused. All right, thanks, everybody. All right, and where are you calling from, Trisha?
Georgia.
Okay.
I'm outside Atlanta, Georgia, in Athens, Georgia.
Okay, please go ahead and...
All righty. Thank you for your patience with me today. I appreciate it. I could really relate to this paragraph today. It says that we call this plain insanity. How can such a lack of proportion of the ability to think straight be called anything else? And that I just thought I just wanted to get on to share today because my story is... I was also insane. 7 years ago, I was diagnosed. I had to have a liver transplant. I had stage 4 cirrhosis of the liver due to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Now, you'd think that would have been my back door, hitting the wall, that I would never get back into sugar after that, because it was sugar, that not alcohol, not drugs, it was sugar and combination of sugar and flour that caused me to lose my liver. But it was a year later after surgery that my mind started telling me, oh, you can eat sugar now. You have a new liver. Well, how can I thank God for this liver and thank the donor and the donor family? You know, but this disease is so strong that I got right back into the sugar again. And I was so powerless. And that's what made me crawling back to Vision for You in 2020. And I just am like so, so grateful for this program. You know, yes, I was insane, the fact that I could think that I could still go back into that. But you know what? I have a solution, and the solution are the 12 steps. And when I start hearing those voices in my head that say, oh, you're okay, you can have that, I'm fine. Whenever I start with a phrase with I know that's my ego talking, and I have to stop. Into the grace of God, pause, pray, and try to discern that. Is it the voice that tells me, you know, that you can, the voice that tells me, you know, turn right at the next corner to go to the store, or this is the voice that's telling me lies, and that's where I'm insane. You know, also checking my emotions. My emotions, are they, even if they're good or bad emotions, Are the emotions that are telling me that's what's the buildup of emotions that caused me to go eat. And I know that by doing the action to stop and discern and say, okay, Lord, you are the power because I am powerless right now. I seek your guidance because I want control. I have no control. That's the lie my ego tells me. I'm in control. And so I just, for those who are new out there, please keep coming back. Work the steps. It works if you work it, but you've got to do the action and follow your food plan. Hopefully you have a good food plan. You know, call, make those phone calls, go to the meetings, but above all, spend at least 30 minutes a day in prayer, just getting in contact with that power because we are powerless. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Trisha D. from Georgia. Okay. Now, Michelle, you are up next, and please include the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Michelle, and you're going to be followed by Jane P. Go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you. This is Michelle M. from Oklahoma, recovered compulsive eater bulimic, and may I say you are an excellent voice wrangler. I don't know that I could do it with such humor and grace, so I really appreciate your service today. What really strikes me about this paragraph is the plain insanity and it. Back when this was written, it was, and I can relate to it now with insanity, is that how can they do this
assuming they have the power of choice. And there was no power of choice in this. So they're being viewed as people that are making these decisions with a rational mind. And what else are we going to do? We're going to lock them up, you know? And if I lived back then, I would, you know, have a view with bars. What I know today is that this disease is a life form. And like any life form, will fight for its survival. And it's living inside of me, and I call it my ego, but it's patient, and it's cunning, and it's baffling, and it's powerful, and just because I might not see it manifest right away, it's there trying to do the set design and lighting. So when suddenly pops into my mind, that's when the disease, you know, tools on full audio, and that's when I'm in trouble. And so today I know that when those thoughts come up, because of the grace of God in my recovery and doing all the things that we need to do, I have a choice. And that power of choice and that discernment to recognize what's really going on is what saves my life on a daily basis. And I have the power to choose today. And I cannot fight. The disease is a life form. I cannot fight. I have to surrender. You know, and the promises, we stop fighting. We cease fighting everything and everyone. So surrender, which by definition means letting go of outcomes, is the way that I have to work this today. And 9 times out of 10, it means doing what I don't want to do to get the results that I want. So, and my disproportion is not in food. That's gone. Food's not an issue for me. It's the way I look at my decisions, and I can make a mistake and turn it into something that is a felony and will get me jailed. And that's pride and fear that is completely out of proportion. And that's my insanity. And thank God for these steps, and thank God for prayer, and thank God for these other voices that speak to
gentle
me
reminder.
And make me realize that I am not alone and there is a solution, and with that I pass.
Okay, thank you so much, Michelle M. from Oklahoma and Jane P. from North Carolina. You are up next, and Laura L., I'm so sorry we are not going to be able to probably get you in, but we can hopefully get you on the next lineup. Go ahead, Jane.
Good morning, Brother Rick. I am Jane P., recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. I had no intention. In fact, I didn't even wake up when y'all first started. But when I heard Rick's voice, my heart was full of love, and I knew I had to share this morning. Thank you for your service and for everyone who brings this gift to me every day. Lack of proportion. It's funny, when I heard those words, I thought of how much I held on to the fact that I was, and so, you know, some people carry weight in certain places, right? Their stomach, their wherever. But I was proportionally fat. And my life was full of orderly proportion. You know, I tried to keep everything straight. I was, you know, had a good job, took care of my kids, tried to keep their lives balanced and orderly. And so, you know, what am I doing? I'm trying to follow the rules. I'm looking around to see how to live, and everything had to be kept in proportion. But was I insane? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I would take my children to the grocery store and get through with a cart full of healthy food and get home and put everything away and make sure they're all set. And then I'd eat the entire box of donuts that I bought at the end of that, putting a bunch of healthy food in my cart. And I have 1,000 more stories, and I think most of you can relate to that, that proved to me. I mean, that's good enough for me. You can call it insanity. You can call it idiocy, stupidity. You can call it just plain crazy, like I called myself. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to eat, and I didn't know how to live. And to me, that was enough to be considered insane. but it still took me into my 40s. I mean, my whole life's been that way. It still took me into my 40s till I had the bravery to walk into one of these rooms. And it still took me into my 50s. After I read this book, I don't know how many times. After I listened to you, I don't know how many hours, countless hours of listening to people share my story, of reading these words over and over, because I spent all this time trying to, in an orderly, proportionate fashion, figure out everything, how to live, how to eat, how to do anything. And what brought me to recovery, thank you, God, was the I stopped trying to figure it out. And that, of course, is because I was on my knees. I didn't want to wake up in the morning. So all I can offer to the newcomer is, first of all, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Second of all, it's worth doing. You are worth doing it. My life is an embarrassment of riches, and I'm here today just to share that with every newcomer that's out there still in pain. Please reach out. I'm happy to help. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you so much, Jane P. from North Carolina. Good to hear you. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, August 5th, 2024, is 21,628. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.